So good morning. It's been a wonderful morning already. I've really enjoyed worshiping the Lord with you this Lord's Day. And as you can tell, I'm not Christian, and we are taking a break this morning from the sermon series that he has been in, and we're jumping back, and we're going to be in a text that might be familiar to you in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 3. And so we're going to be looking at one of the most well-known figures in all of the Bible. And his name is Moses. You may know him as the one who wrote the first five books of the Bible, or the one who spoke to Pharaoh to ultimately get his people, the Israelites, to be let go. However, before he got to that point, we find Moses hiding in the desert with feelings of insecurity and not measuring up. I don't know the last time you felt overwhelmed by a situation or that your best was not enough. If I'm honest, I have felt that many times. Over 6 years ago, our family moved here to Vienna, to Austria, to serve as church planters in a post-Christian context. Literally everything was foreign to us. The culture, the language, the spiritual landscape of the city, or lack thereof. In many ways, we felt like we were fish out of water. And maybe you can relate to that. At another point, I was connected to and was having a conversation with a man who was addicted to drugs, and his wife had left him. He had two kids who had also been affected by his decisions. He came to me and asked me if I could help him. And in that moment, I felt like I was the most unqualified person and not experienced enough to help. You see, maybe you have heard the voice inside you that whispers, I am not enough. I don't know what that blank might be, but maybe it's I'm not good enough. I'm not athletic enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not smart enough, or good-looking, or spiritual, or capable enough. I'm not enough. Maybe you just got hired for a job, and now you are not sure that you can do it. Or maybe you just started a new phase of life, like being a mother or father, and you're not sure that you have what it takes to succeed in the next stage of life. And first of all, let me just say, to every parent those who hope to have children one day, every parent feels like this. Every parent feels like this. Nothing destroys your feelings of competence like having children. I remember thinking, they actually let you take home this brand new baby with you? But they did. They let us go. Or maybe you want to get married and you just don't know if you will find the right person. You don't know if someone can love you. Or maybe you feel like God is calling you to ministry or to go on the mission field, but you don't know where to begin or what you should do. Let me just say, if that's you, then come talk to me after the service. I would love to talk to you. All of us at some point experience insecurity and not measuring up. And then Instagram and Facebook have made this 100 times worse in this day and age that we live in. Because no matter what you do, there's always somebody who's doing it better. Isn't that right? And so, if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 3. The chapter opens already with Moses as a pretty insecure man. Moses had started out his life with a lot of confidence. He was a good-looking guy with a high-paying job. He was Pharaoh's adopted son. But then he'd felt like God wanted him to help deliver his people, the Israelites. But when he tried to do so, things went horribly wrong. The Jewish people mocked him and rejected him, and Pharaoh disowned him. And then he ended up killing someone and then fled into the desert. He would end up marrying a non-Israelite girl while spending 40 years there in the desert. And this brings us to chapter 3. So let's start reading in verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people with the children of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out of Egypt? Who am I? Let's stop there for a moment. And yes, I did skip over the big part where there was a burning bush. And we'll get back to that. But let's stop there because right now, in verse 11, things were going well up to this point. The conversation was about God and what God wanted to do. And then in verse 11, Moses makes himself the point of the conversation. He turns the conversation into himself. And commentators of this text say that this reveals a deep insecurity about Moses that he was carrying from his past failures. In fact, they point out the statement, Who am I? Is an echo of that very question that the Israelites had thrown in Moses' face the first time he tried to rescue them back in chapter 2, where they said, Who are you and why would we follow you? Maybe this has happened to you. Somebody has criticized you for a long time and you've started to believe those lies, those criticisms. Maybe an ex-girlfriend or a boyfriend or abusive boss, they said things for so long that you've started to believe them. And this has happened now to Moses. And let's look at verse 12. He says, God said, but I will be with you. This is important. Notice how God deals with Moses' insecurities. Not in the way that you and I would normally do this. We would deal with them by telling ourselves, we're good enough. Philip, you're good enough. Or just think positive thoughts. Or visualize success. Right? But God didn't do that. He subtly shifts the narrative back to himself and says, but I will be with you. And that's because real confidence, genuine bravery, real confidence comes not from a better evaluation of your potential, but a clearer view of God. Unfortunately, Moses still doesn't get it, so he keeps talking about himself. Notice in verse 13, well, what if this happens, or what should I do then? And in verse 14, God ignores Moses' question, and instead he spends the next 9 verses or so focusing entirely on what he, God, has done, is doing, and will do. He says, Moses, this is not about you having what it takes. It's not about you being enough. This is about me accomplishing my purposes. You have a role in that, but the power, the success in it, that belongs to me. I don't need you to be the star, Moses. I just need you to trust me. Confidence comes not from discovering greater things about yourself or tapping into your potential. Confidence comes from seeing how big and powerful God is and discovering his purposes for your life and following him. Many people make a critical mistake in reading the Bible, right? I don't know if you've done this before, but I've done this before. Taken the Bible, and I've opened it up somewhere. Didn't know where to start, so I just opened it up. And I started reading the Bible thinking, this is a book with tips about how I should live my life. This book, oh, I see myself in this person, and I see myself in this person. And I start reading about reading these stories and all about it, and I'm thinking about myself first. But the thing is, the Bible is not a book primarily about you. The Bible is primarily a book about God. Page after page reveals who he is, and only when you come to an awareness of who he is, then you can discover who you are. Only by becoming confident in his purposes for your life will you be confident in yours. Many of us have tried to find the will of God, but we've put all the emphasis on me. What should I do? What are my needs? What are the things that I want to accomplish in life? That's what I'm going to do. And some of us have approached God trying to see how he can help us achieve my life's purposes. And if that is the case, I'm just telling you right now, I was doing that too. And you've got it wrong. God wants us to see and hear this. We are supposed to approach God surrendering to his will. And that's where confidence, this real sense of purpose, begins. So this is what God is trying patiently to show Moses in verse 13 and 14. So Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God's name is not a name per se. It's a verb. In Hebrew, it's Hayah. And we write it as Yahweh or Jehovah. It literally means I am or to be, to exist. God is saying, Moses, I am not like anything you've experienced before. I don't have needs. I don't require any help. I don't have any limits. I don't have a beginning, and I do not have an ending. I'm unchanging, always and forever the same. So I'm not intimidated by Pharaoh or limited by your inabilities. Now we get to the burning bush. The burning bush is supposed to give us a glimpse of God's eternal, self-sustaining nature. The fire burned continually in the bush without burning up the bush. You see, fire needs fuel, right? And then once the fuel runs out, the fire runs out. The fire Moses saw, however, was self-sustaining. It didn't require anything. And in the same way, God, the eternal I am, he needs no external fuel. Nothing precedes him and nothing comes after him. Nothing sustains him and nothing contains him. And so God says to Moses, if I, the eternal I am on your side, you don't need anything else. You don't need anything else. All those places in your life, you feel like you're not good enough. I am, God says. It's no longer about who you are, it's about who I am. You know, if you step back and you look at it, Moses had been uniquely equipped to accomplish this task. He had just spent 40 years in the desert, the same desert where God was going to be sending the Israelites back out into. So he knew the desert like the back of his hand. He was equipped because he was able to also write legal documents. He was part of the family of Pharaoh. He was able to set up a government, which the Israelites were going to need. So he was qualified in some ways. Moses isn't able to see that. And in time, he will come to see these things and appreciate God's sovereign preparation for him. But what's interesting is that in trying to give Moses confidence, God doesn't point to the fact that Moses is qualified. He doesn't say, Moses, wake up, I'm preparing you. Instead, he simply says, Moses, I'm with you. Moses, I'm with you. Walk forward in confidence, knowing that what I have called you to, I will supply for you. Remember, God does not call the equipped, but he equips those whom he calls. Which means you don't need to be equipped for the task that God is calling you to. If God is calling you to something, he will equip you. And as Moses did that, he started to see how God had indeed been ever present in his life. What if you looked at your life with eyes of faith? With eyes of faith. Believing that in everything, the good and the bad, things that go your way and things that make you fall on your face, the exciting and the disappointing, the tragedies and the triumphs, in all these things, a sovereign, loving God was behind it all, preparing you for his purposes. God doesn't deal with Moses' insecurities by teaching him anything about himself, even though Moses had a lot to learn, of course. In this moment, God deals with Moses' insecurities by calling him to focus on the greatness of who he is. Confidence does not come from better self-assessment, but a clearer view of God himself. So Moses says, but God, I am not eloquent enough. smart enough or successful enough. And God responds, I didn't choose you because you were any of those things. I have enough of those things for the both of us. You are not, but I am. My old pastor in the U.S. would say, feeling inadequate is a prerequisite to being used by God. Moses says, but God, I am not good enough. God says, I know I am. God, I am not skilled enough. I am. God, I'm not confident enough. God says, I am. Think about this. In Exodus, when the people of Israel were wounded and sick because of their sin, God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, which means I am your healer. In Leviticus, when Moses laid out the law, the great description of how to walk upright with God, the people said, who could ever live this way? And God answered with him, Jehovah Mekadishkim, I am your sanctifier. When Jeremiah was discouraged by Israel's persistent inability to walk faithfully before God and said, how can we survive? We are so sinful. We are a sinful people. God said, Jehovah Tzidkenu, I am your righteousness. In Ezekiel's day, when the people of Israel felt scared and alone because their enemies were all around, God said, Jehovah Shammah, I am the God who is ever present. When David felt lost and confused with no friends left in the world, he called God Jehovah Ra. I am the Lord your shepherd. To Abraham, who faced the impossible circumstance with no seeming way out, God said, Jehovah Jireh, I am your provider. And to Israel, who wasn't sure how he would survive another day, God said, Jehovah Sabaoth, I am your defender, the God who fights for you. And then in the New Testament, we jump to the New Testament and you think, that phrase, I am. I've heard that before. Yes, Jesus takes the I am name for himself and applies it to our greatest areas of brokenness and need. To those who hunger, he says, I am the bread of life. To those who thirst, he says, I am the living water. To those who in darkness, Jesus declares, I am the light. To those who need a fresh start, Jesus says, I am the door. To those who feel abandoned, I am the good shepherd. To those who feel lost, Jesus says, I am the way. To those confused, I am the truth. And to those afraid of death coming, knocking on the door, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. This is what Jesus wants to be for you. The Bible's message, you see, is not about what you can do or that you are enough. The Bible is about God, who God is for you and what he can accomplish through you if you trust in him. The gospel is not that God would help us become better versions of ourselves. I want to say that very clearly because I think we believe that sometimes. The gospel is not that we were doing okay and God wanted to make us better versions of ourselves. It's not that we were okay and he wanted to make us good enough. Jesus lived the life that we were not good enough to live. And then he died the death that we deserved in our place. That's the gospel. We were dead. Jesus died so that we might have life. That's the only response on that judgment day when we stand face to face with God and he says, Why should I let you into heaven? That's the only response. Because I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. For all that we need and all that we lack, All that we could never be in ourselves, Jesus is the great I am. I'm not enough. You are not enough. Moses is not enough, but God is enough for Moses, me, and you. You see, I know you came here today probably carrying different kinds of worries or insecurities, feelings of inadequacy as a parent or a wife or husband or a boss or a worker or a student or even a Christian, whatever it is. And the Bible reveals to us this ugly truth that our failures and inabilities are worse than we could imagine. You may be asking, are you trying to convince me that I'm not good enough? No, I'm telling you, you are not good enough. We cannot measure up to the standard that people have for us, let alone the standard of God. It's only when we see this reality that you are ready to accept Jesus, the I am, the Lord of your life. You were created to find your identity and your sufficiency in the arms of the everlasting God who created you. And that's why some of us are so dissatisfied. You're living in a universe so very small that's surrounding you. A universe only about your hopes and dreams, trying to fit God in the corners of your life. But you'll never be satisfied that way. You were created for eternal significance in God's eternal purposes. So here's the question. Are you ready to reorient your life? To quit trying to fit God in on the corners, on the fringes of your life, to say, God, you can have Sunday. Maybe on the days when I go to small group. Let go of your agenda for His. To find your identity in His purposes, that means total surrender to Him. You can do this right now, even now, as we go to Him in prayer. Let's pray together. If you're new here today and you're wondering, what is all of this? What have I gotten myself into? I just want you to know that there's a God, the God who created you. He loves you. But this barrier stands between us. It's called sin. And we are separated from our Creator. You have a chance to call out to Him and come to Him right now and pray to Him and say, God, I confess, I have tried things my way for far too long. I've left you out of my decisions and only allowed you in parts of my life. I don't want to try to fit you into my purposes. I want to surrender to yours. So help me. Give me every aspect. Help me to give every aspect of my life to you, my provider, my defender, and my God. That's our prayer for those who are searching, but also for those of us who have been in church for a long time. We sort of feel like church is just what I do. I go to church and I participate sometimes because that's what I've always done. But we need God to breathe life into our bodies, into our hearts again. And so I pray that you also would see and understand who this God is in a new and fresh way so that you might be able to continue to grow in faith, grow in your relationship with him. We're all on this journey of life together, and I pray that you would find your place here at Crossroads, and that you would also know that there is nothing better that we can give our lives to than to what God is calling us to do. So if you have questions about that, if you feel like God is speaking to you, speaking to your heart, at the end of the service, we're going to have a chance for you to come and pray with some of our leaders. So God, I thank you for this word, and I thank you that you have allowed us to hear from you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing before I put you into the feedback groups. So what this means is if we give our lives to God fully for his purposes, for what he has for us, this means that you'll be involved in the local church. There's no questions about that. And so if you call this church, Crossroads, your church home, or if you regularly attend here, now is the time to get involved. Become a member. Get baptized. Join a small group. Okay, we're going to also hear about a new small group in a few minutes. But be a part of the life of the church. Grow in the life of the church together with others. Okay, that's my encouragement for you. And now we'll take about 6 or 7 minutes to talk about what you might have heard or learned from God's word today. So we're going to split up into groups of about 5 or so, and then we'll come back up after. All right? Let's do it.